Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Daniel Israel, GP at Dr. Daniel Israel and Associates at Bluebird Medical Center here in Burnham. Daniel Israel, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Simon.
Did you hear any of that, Daniel?
I did. I think that we can let Mark Zuckerberg off only if he's had a vaccine, which I actually saw it on his feed.
Is he vaccinated? Do we know if Mark Zuckerberg is vaccinated?
As far as I remember, I saw it on the feed that he had been vaccinated.
Okay, so that brings us really beautifully into the subject that you and I are going to discuss today, which is that of vaccine hesitancy. Like, what could possibly be the reasons for it at this stage of the game, Daniel?
So we know that when people aren't affected by COVID, and as much as COVID is rife at the moment, there are, you know, thankfully a lot of our community who haven't had COVID, there's almost a hesitancy in going out, looking for trouble, so to speak, in people's minds, and putting something into your body that you think, well, if I didn't do anything and I just stay away, I'll be okay. It's a complete illogical thought process, though, because when it comes to the crux about whether or not to do a vaccine, and this goes for all vaccines, one has to weigh up adverse effects versus the effects of the disease. And we've certainly seen that the complications of COVID pose a much higher risk than any of these vaccines could ever pose. So, you know, I'll share something personal. And I remember when I first went in at the vaccine, and this was in February or some early time in the year, I remember this little bit of hesitancy in my mind as I was about to be vaccinated, because I thought, well, you know, I've had no problems with COVID and now I'm going to put this foreign stuff into my body. But I really convinced myself at that point that, you know, it didn't take much, but that the risks of not being vaccinated are far, far outweigh any adverse effects that have been reported in any vaccines.
Daniel, I don't read conspiracy theorists, and I just don't go there because I don't think it's good for the mind. But what are people saying? Are they scared it's going to interfere with their DNA? Are they going to have children with three heads? What is the reluctance to go and do it? I mean, we take smallpox vaccinations. We take I don't know how many vaccinations throughout our life. What is the problem with this one?
So I think that the sci-fi and conspiracy theories about 5G and tracking and, you know, those kind of things are no longer so prevalent in the population's minds. But so in any medical intervention that's brought out, it's mandatory to report adverse events. So when people hear about, you know, the whole story in America with the clotting, it was a minuscule number of people who developed clots. They weren't even sure whether due to the vaccine, and then they worked out it was due to the vaccine. But we're talking about, you know, less on two hands, you could count the people versus the millions of people who were vaccinated. The problem is that when you see those warnings, it emotionally conjures up a fear in oneself. But I think what's important for our listeners to understand is that they need to try and, as much as they imagine getting that adverse effect, they need to imagine getting the complication of COVID. And it's an absolute no-brainer. I'm quite, you know, emphatic about that.
And for the those who are hesitant, is there any sort of degree of hesitancy? Are they more prepared to have a Johnson & Johnson vaccine than they are to have a Pfizer vaccine? Are there grades of hesitancies, or just a flat, I don't want the vaccine, full stop?
I think it's a flat, I don't want the vaccine, full stop, because, you know, remember that this hesitancy is born out of fear, emotional fear, and it's, you know, not a rational thought process. You know, if people were sitting and actually comparing the statistics, you can see that in the placebo group, for example, for Pfizer, there was a 0.5% of people who had said that they'd got some chest pain. And in the interventional group, which is the group that actually got the Pfizer, there was 0.6. So if you went and like actually did a comparison between the vaccines, you'd probably find some win on some adverse effects and some win on others. But again, the numbers are so small that they don't, in my mind, it's almost irresponsible even to bring that to the fore in any type of news feed, because it creates irrational hesitancy.
Daniel Israel, as always, thank you for your input here on Chai FM. Pleasure chatting to you.
Ciao, Simon.